Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's Mike Shope.
This guy's a real jerk.
And the Bulldog.
I'm sort of anal retentive, OCD kind of whack job.
On WGR.
I just went outside without a coat on. Does that mean I'm about to get sick?
You're going to catch a cold, Michael.
Is that a proven thing?
No.
Is it disproven? My odds can't be better. Going outside without a coat on.
But it is not. I am outside without a coat on. I'm like Ross. We got in this last week with Ross. Sweaters, jackets, coats, whatever. I mean, I'm not out for hours or anything, but I got to let the dog out. I'm standing in the backyard. It's 40 degrees. I got a t-shirt on. All right, fine. I'm taking the garbage out. Fine. If I'm going to be out for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, then it's a different thing. But I don't think being cold necessarily would get you sick. I think you need germs.
You got to have the germs. For more on this, we turn to Chris Trapasso here with us on the West Her Hotline. Chris, do you have any insight, any experience with this discussion?
I'm sorry, Chris.
No, I have seen like the videos that we probably all seen on social media that it's, you don't actually catch a cold from being cold, but you're right. I haven't seen that's been disproven fully, but it's definitely something that I've thought about the last couple of years for sure.
Well, we'll see if we can't get more information on this to everybody here soon. I was excited to have you join us today, Chris, because I've been, myself at least, excited to have ready for a conversation about what we've learned from this year's, well, the first round at least, plus Keon Coleman. Let's at least include Keon Coleman, the first pick of round two. All the time we spent hashing out these prospects and trying to predict where they might go. You've had all these quarterbacks, the receivers. Maybe we start with the Bills and Coleman, who's now injured. One thing, Bulldog and I were just talking about this, that I can remember you talking about with us is yards after the catch. I think there was a tweet today or recently from you about that. I mean, that has turned all the way around, hasn't it?
It's gone from me coming on this show 2 years ago and saying, what's the one way that the Bills could maybe catch the Chiefs, so to speak, or get to a Super Bowl, improving yards after the catch? They were bottom of the league. Now they're third in the NFL yards after the catch per reception. Keon Coleman's been a little bit to do with that. He had the long catch late in that one game.
Houston,
Yeah, Houston, and obviously Khalil Shakir has been the real driver. But I think just in general, And maybe this has been, to me, the biggest difference between Brian Daboll, who was so good as the offensive coordinator, to Joe Brady, is the offense just feels like there's more yards after the catch to be had for these wide receivers. That a lot of the other times under Daboll, it was guys were getting open, but it was either near the sideline or it was between two defenders where Cole Beasley or John Brown or even Stephon Diggs would almost have no other choice but to go immediately to the turf. The fact that the Bills have been able to not even just make life easier for Josh Allen, he's still making incredible throws every week. He leads the NFL with most big-time throws in football. It's just some of those easier throws are now not 7 or 8 yard gains. They're 20-plus yard plays where he doesn't have to really do anything after throwing the football. So, yes, it has been completely turned around. We've started to see it last year, but now the Bills are elite in that area.
Yeah, and that is absolutely no accident or even a happy accident. Like, it's entirely by design, I think. While we were all sort of, you know, hung up. I mean, obviously, a lot of attention was focused on the Diggs trade, and are they going to get a number one guy to replace him and all this. I'm going back to the summer now here, of course, with that. Mm-hmm. The Bills, you know, everybody eats, you know, take your shots at it. They designed their offense to get big plays like this without, you know, I think because, Chris, they recognized more and more defenses were making it harder and harder to get those explosive plays 20 yards and up by throwing it over their heads. So
yeah.
I give them a lot of credit for changing the way they changed, because they I would say they needed to do something, and it seems like they found a good counteraction to that too high shell.
Yeah, and I was going to say that, I mean, outside of a few of those deep overs to Dawson Knox over the past 2 weeks, we still really haven't seen Josh Allen hit the what would be in everyone's mind the prototypical, like, strong arm quarterback bomb
right
down the field this season. It's been like they're still seeing that. They're still seeing man coverage at as high of a percentage as any team in the NFL. And like even two of those Curtis Samuel catches, one being the touchdown against the Chiefs, was thrown short of the sticks and he made a defender miss. And the other time he was wide open on a little, maybe it was an illegal screen there from Matt Collins, which I think it was. But those type of plays, it's like almost refreshing to see from a Bills perspective, because it was just not something that was part of the offense very frequently as Josh Allen became this elite-level quarterback.
So as you think about Coleman and getting back to sort of the context of what was the NFL draft this year and all the wide receivers, how do you think the Bills have done so far?
I think they've done as good of a job as probably any team could have. I would probably still like to see him more in the slot. I know you guys talk to Matt Harmon every once in a while from Reception Perception. That was his kind of takeaway, that he liked Keon Coleman, but if he's a big slot, he's not going to necessarily get open on the outside. But it's almost like the Bills have leaned into it and said, look, we know he's not going to get open. We're not going to ask him to run the same routes that Ladd McConkey is running in L.A. or that Malik Nabers is running with the Giants. We're going to throw him back shoulders and dump balls. We're going to get him the ball on shallow crosses when there is, you know, someone trailing, or even it's against zone coverage, and just let him use his physicality, even throw him some screens, because we know that he returned punts at Florida State. So what I do like that the Bills have done is that they're not, you know, asking him to do things that he didn't do. And to kind of go back to another Bills rookie receiver in the past, what a regime did 10 years ago with Sammy Watkins, who was this screen demon at Clemson. They constantly were throwing him the ball, getting it to him in space. He joins the Bills. He has a great rookie season, but I don't think they threw him one screen in that rookie season. They asked him to run intricate routes, get down the field. This Bills regime, coaching staff, front office, scouting department, they understood, like, here's where he's not going to win. Here's where he probably could win if Josh Allen is throwing him catchable footballs. And although it hasn't been perfect, he hasn't caught every contested catch, at least they understand where to utilize him. And maybe we will start to see him now, you know, presumably after the bye, with really the whole offense essentially healthy, you know, get moved around in the formation to get him some more advantageous situations before the snap, where he does have a little bit more space to operate down the seam.
Yeah, I'm kind of waiting to see when they get to that. I might be making too much of this, but after one of these games, maybe it was after the Seattle game, where Allen was talking post-game about him, and I don't know how he intended this, and I don't even have the exact quote here, but the spirit of the thing was, Coleman is, he's really good at doing what he knows how to do. And I felt like that could be a clue. I don't know that, you know, they got to kind of go slow, you know, so moving him around might be, that might take some time because maybe, you know, we've seen a couple of mistakes, you know, one just, you know, an error in catching the ball right against Miami. But in that Houston game, there was a pass that hit him in the back of the head because he didn't turn around. And I think that was, he might have been in the slot. He was inside there, I think, anyway, or it was close to the hashes. Anyway. I wonder if like he just needs some time to understand fully what, you know, see the whole board kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think the Bills, like I said, up until this point before his recent wrist injury, they had gotten, I think, a fair amount of production from him despite his shortcomings. And, you know, in today's NFL with how much motion is being used and the Bills, I didn't see this week where they are in terms of motion rate, but they have been a lot better, not as static under Joe Brady compared to Ken Dorsey. You can get someone that's not going to get a ton of pure separation individually by using motion, by, like we're saying, using him in the slot. So there have been a fair amount of reps where Keon Coleman has just been glued to the cornerback, but they've also, there's been a few of those catches going horizontal across the field where he can kind of run that gauntlet drill like he did at the combine that I think the Bills were really enamored with. And kind of, you know, separate that way and then be this 6'3", 215-pound, you know, big body in the open field. And then, you know, maybe one out of every two or three contested catches he's coming down with, and that's good enough in this kind of everybody-eats offense, especially for a 21-year-old rookie.
With Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports. So I'll leave this open-ended for you here, Chris. Just one or two or so receivers this year that are rookies where, you know, they've really sort of hit the right landing spot or have impressed you or have maybe changed the narrative about themselves so far. I'm thinking of maybe Brian Thomas a little bit with Jacksonville, or I liked McConkey, but he's been good. Whoever it is you like here. We got neighbors near the top, but the quarterback is so sketch.
Yeah, that's true. They've all been good. Like, all those wide receivers that we talked about for months that are leading up to the draft, beyond just saying they've been good, it's like all of their strengths and the scouting reports have like been exactly spot on. Like Marvin Harrison, I'm not going to say he's similar to Keon Coleman, and that I think he is more obviously talented, but he's not someone that has been getting wide open in Arizona. But when he's making a play, it's deep down the field where he's tracking the ball like a center fielder. That's what he did at Ohio State. Malik Nabers, ultra dynamic route runner, explosive ability after the catch, change of direction, it's all there. We've seen that from him. You know, like you mentioned, Daniel Jones, that quarterback situation isn't good, had a concussion. Ladd McConkey has dealt with some injuries. He's currently dealing with his shoulder. Not super surprising given his size. He took a couple big hits in that crazy game over the Bengals, but the route salesmanship has been superb. He's caught everything. That's what he did for 3 years at Georgia. Brian Thomas is the one that I think post-draft, just because he got so close to the Bills, I was like, man, the Bills wanted size, speed, downfield ability. That Brian Thomas, I was almost expecting for them to make that ascension up, what, two or three spots where they first sat in that first round where Brian Thomas ultimately goes to Jacksonville. And before his injury, he was doing everything. I mean, getting open intermediate level, down the field, yards after the catch, it was really all there. So a lot of these names that were picked in the first 33 or so selections, you can throw Keon Coleman in there as well, have been really good. I think Xavier Worthy and Xavier Leggett are probably the two least impressive, but they have not been.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Like Laquon Treadwell, Jalen Reagor, where they just can't even get on the field. So they've made some contributions as well. We'll see how this class pans out, but it's a really good start for the 24 wide receiver class.
Yeah, and even the guys who aren't hitting, maybe those fan bases might want to think about Quentin Johnston a little bit, because he looked like Bust City last year, and that seems to be going pretty well with the Chargers.
And he's another one, too, that, I mean, Matt Harmon, to kind of bring him up again, he's like, you know, one of my buddies from 10 years ago on Twitter, watching film of college guys, said like, hey, this is not a X receiver who's going to get open. It was obvious at TCU. Kind of a similar, I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, pretty similar to Keon Coleman, where they utilized him at TCU, shallow crosses, slants, bubble screens, an occasional deep ball where he just went up and got it. That's how Keon Coleman was used at Florida State. Year one, that Chargers coaching staff was kind of a disaster. We're seeing in retrospect now, given what Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman have done, Quentin Johnston did nothing. Never got open. They just utilized him out wide, never moved him around. This year, he's having a considerably better season. He's still not someone who's turning around defensive backs on every single play, but it proves that there is a blueprint for that bigger, more straight line body to be productive in the NFL. And that's probably, you know, what the Bills are hoping, that Keon Coleman can continue to build like Quentin Johnston has from last year to this year.
Six quarterbacks went even early in round one. Two, McCarthy missing the year with his knee injury. Penix barely playing as a backup, garbage time. Not much to say about them. The other four, there's a lot to say about each of them, with Daniels' hot start, Williams' struggles, May looks good, and Bo Nix looks kind of real good for Denver so far. What's the most surprising development for you at that position?
Probably Bo Nix, but I have kind of like a controversial take on that. So I watch all the young quarterbacks, all their dropbacks. It's a series I've done every year for since Josh Allen's second season at CBS. Bo Nix is operating Sean Payton's scheme like much better than even Russell Wilson did, who wanted to improvise, wanted to hold on to the football. We know that's not a Sean Payton offense. That's not how Drew Brees threw for however many yards, 50,000 yards in the NFL. But is Bo Nix like making challenging throws? And Not really. He's still putting the ball in harm's way a fair amount, but I am surprised that he's been able to grasp where to go with the football as quickly. Caleb Williams has kind of been a little more up and down than I suspected. Keenan Allen's been really kind of disappointing. Like I kind of thought he would be that Cole Beasley, Khalil Shakir guy, just catching 8 to 10 passes a game, and he has not been that kind of security blanket that I think the Bears were hoping they would get. Drake May is, I mean, I love Drake May. I'm not surprised that he's playing as well as he is. He's got a lot of athleticism. He's got a huge arm. He's aggressive. He's not afraid to throw a ball down the field, even if he threw an interception on the previous drive. Pretty accurate, too. And Jaden Daniels, I think it was getting a little bit out of control with how good of a rookie season he was having.
Me too.
I think the Hail Mary helped with that a little bit, which obviously that's not really on him for making that play.
Right.
In watching all of his throws, same thing, but probably to a little bit of a better degree than Bo Nix. The offense was like, man, every single throw, first read wide open. He was getting it out very quickly. Yards after the catch were there. Now, there were some, you know, great throws, like the touchdown late in the game, way early in the season,
yep.
The same night that the Bills played against the Jags. Against the Bengals was awesome, like against a free rusher, perfectly back corner of the end zone. I'm not saying he never made a good throw, but, like, I was seeing things, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago, like, should he be the MVP? And I was like, guys, we got to calm down with, you know, looking just at the statistics, especially at the quarterback spot, relative to what other quarterbacks are being asked to do and the challenging throws that they're making. And we've seen Jaden Daniels kind of regress a little bit the last 2 weeks, where there haven't been those wow throws down the field like there were when they rattled off 4 or 5 straight.
Yeah, the rib injury coincides with that to an extent.
You're right,
here.
Absolutely.
Some extent, anyway, not to explain it all the way, because I also agree, like the hype train got maybe running a little too fast, but the injury, I would think, had some impact on that. Let's shift our attention for the last few minutes we got here. I mean, we're on a bye week, so let's ask you about this year's quarterbacks here as far as college goes. And, you know, teams like the Giants, who certainly look like they're playing for a high pick, and whoever else out there will end up in that territory. What do you make of the quarterback class? How many guys, if any, will be worth first-round picks, in your opinion? And it's a different question than how many will go in the
right,
first round.
Right.
Yeah, this is going to be a really interesting draft, because we've had like 4 or 5 years in a row where there's like either one, like everyone needs this guy, or there's a Joe Burrow and a Justin Herbert and a, you know, Tua Tagovailoa that teams were tanking for in the previous season before like everything kind of wrapped up in that college season. Caleb Williams, obviously, Trevor Lawrence was in there, even Zach Wilson, everyone loved him. Justin Fields was this big recruit. This draft class doesn't really have that. I think ultimately, and this is not necessarily only my opinion, I think consensus-wise, Shedeur Sanders will ultimately be the number one quarterback in most people's eyes, because the experience, I certainly don't think his last name hurts him. The fact that he's probably throwing passes to the eventual Heisman winner in Travis Hunter. He's poised in the pocket. Does he have elite-level traits like a Caleb Williams or a Josh Allen? No. I think he's more resembling of like Teddy Bridgewater, who was the last pick in the first round in 2014. He's kind of in that realm. Cam Ward is kind of the same way. He's a little bit more improvisational, which I think obviously lends itself well to today's NFL. Mm-hmm. He's had a great season at Miami. But you just, when you watch him, the arm strength isn't quite there. The accuracy isn't to that surgical level like it was for even last year's quarterbacks. Like you mentioned, 6 going in the top 12. Quinn Ewers is kind of the same deal, where he has, you know, the pedigree of a Trevor Lawrence as a recruit, but hasn't quite lived up to that. Carson Beck, right now to me, feels a lot like Desmond Ritter, more so than someone that's like, mm-hmm. Oh, a surefire top 10 selection. So it will be interesting with the Giants, with the Raiders, a lot of teams near the top that will need quarterbacks. We'll see what the Titans do, what the Panthers do, if they have new GMs. Do they turn the page from Will Levis and Bryce Young? You know, unless Bryce Young continues to play pretty good football, but not this, oh my God, we need to get these quarterbacks, and teams are going to be, you know, calling all of these GMs in the top 5 to get up to the top 5 to pick a quarterback. And that obviously has a huge ripple effect on the rest of the first round.
How much, if at all, are you bracing for a circus around Sanders because of his dad?
It's going to be, I think, bad. Like, I mean, if you're into that stuff, you'll love it. If you're kind of like already sick of that whole charade, then be prepared to be very annoyed during draft season from rumors that Sanders is going to, or that Deion is going to like pick where his son goes, to him coming right out and saying, I'm not going here, like being almost like Eli Manning, but you know, more intense. I won't be surprised at that. And been trying to think, like, which owner, I mean, all it takes is one team and one owner, but I feel like a team, like an organization like the Giants, with how just by the book they've been, John Mara there, that I can't see them unless their GM can really convince the owner to buy into that eventual media circus. Now, could the Raiders? I could see that. Like, that would make a lot more sense in Vegas. This will be more than we've seen from any other of these top quarterbacks. We had it a little bit with Kyler Murray. We had it a little bit with Caleb Williams, but it ultimately never really materialized to anything like that Murray was going to go to baseball or Caleb Williams didn't want to go to Chicago. That was just like early on in the process. Mm-hmm. I think this draft season, Sanders will be a lot more upfront, especially being this, you know, he went into college as an NIL athlete and, you know, his dad followed him to Jackson State and then Colorado. I won't be surprised if there's more of a push for him to emphasize, hey, here's where I want to go. I don't want to play for that coach. I don't want to go to that city. I want better receivers. So whether you like that or you don't, or you love Sanders or you don't like him, I think it's going to be a bigger circus than what we've seen over the last maybe 10 or so years.
The timing will be interesting because I would think anyway, like Deion will be an NFL head coach. Maybe not next year, but his son is leaving. But how can you line that up, right? The Lakers had no problem getting to
hire Deion Sanders first.
You have to hire him first, and then
hope the draft falls right for you.
Trade for the 101. I mean,
right?
Make sure it worked pretty easily for the Lakers to get Bronny James because no one else was going to draft him.
Right?
Yeah,
right.
It's a totally different scenario than that. Yeah,
I've got the Raiders on my bingo card for this. They hire Deion Sanders, draft his kid, and pray. That's the Raiders' plan to me.
Well,
yeah, that's the thing. Like, I mean, there's not a can't miss big time trait quarterback in this class, but that doesn't mean that Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders or Quinn Ewers or even Carson Beck couldn't ultimately be good quarterbacks. I think they've all showed, you know, some of those traits, and certainly the productivity is there. I just think it's a little bit of a longer shot and to try to project them forward, like certainly what we're all doing. With the draft stuff, it's a little bit harder to see them, you know, winning a game like a Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes type game because the physical abilities, Sanders doesn't really have great athleticism. He's not going to be a big runner in the NFL, and he doesn't have a big arm. It's already kind of two strikes against him. It could work out, but you're right that the Raiders kind of feel like an organization and a team that could just roll the dice and say, hey, look, like we're going to just see if it works because they've been out of the quarterback game for seemingly so long now.
I hope they do it. It's been too long since they've been interesting at all, so it'd be nice to have the Raiders.
Exactly. Yeah, that's where I'm getting at.
Yep. Back to talk about. Yep. Well, thank you, Chris. I'm glad we could find you today. Hope you have a nice holiday season coming up here.
All right, you guys too. Thanks.
Thank you, Chris Trapasso. You know who Cam Ward's backup is, by the way?
Martin Gerber.
That's correct. 21 years, Martin Gerber. That's correct. 803-0550. It's the bye week. Spent a lot of time yesterday on the AFC playoff picture. Do we want Pittsburgh tonight? We'll talk about Steelers-Browns as well as we continue. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.